We are live once again for the Dad Bods podcast, episode number 82. Is this 82? I think it is.
I think so.
And it is springtime in the city of Maryland, but we are joined here. I am one of the co-hosts at Guns Picks. Joined with me today for the dads, it is at Pun Picks and lockbets.net. What's going on, guys? How you doing? How you feeling? How you living?
Boys.
Well, the Yankees just scored a two-run home run versus the White Sox, so that's always good to hear, good to see. I think Giancarlo is hitting his stride. Are the Yankees the best team in baseball? I would probably bet a nickel that they are.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, who's gonna boast that same rotation they have? And they're not even what's the stat on them if they score more than five runs? They're like 13-0 or 14-0 or something.
I don't know that pun, but that's why you are a very integral part of this situation here. Okay.
No, I saw it the other day and I was like, shit, that makes sense because they've been winning and they haven't really even been hitting yet, which is scary. Right. So as long as their rotation stays healthy, I don't see, you know, I think they're winning the AL East.
Yeah.
Nice,
I mean,
nice little jinx there.
Really competing. I mean, horrible coaching for most of the division. I mean, you look at what's that one team they play in that new ballpark, Fenway or whatever. Their coach stinks. I mean, he was out of the league. He should have never been allowed back. Guy's a cheater, first and foremost, and he's not a winner, okay? Get that guy out of here. And you know what? We might as well get a expansion franchise because those Red Sox, they stink.
Well, you're not wrong about that. Their bullpen is fucking awful. I mean, awful.
They're bad. We're having a bad season.
I think they're bad. I thought they were bad.
I was just trying to play devil's advocate. If you really are that butthurt about it, I'm sorry.
No, hell no, I'm not butthurt about it. The only time I get butthurt about Yankee Red Sox trash talk is in the playoffs or when they play each other. Other than that, I'm rooting for the Yankees if I have money on them.
I'm a day by day guy. I'm happy that they scored a 2-run home run, but let's talk in August. Let's talk in July.
Exactly.
Let's talk in September.
And, exactly. We'll God, is that a Viva? Is that a Viva I see?
That is a Viva. Should we just go into
lucky dog?
I want to talk about this because they sent us a very good package here. So let's just get right to the ad read real quick.
This podcast is sponsored by Viva Tequila Seltzers.
That's right. This podcast is sponsored by Viva Tequila Seltzers. Viva Tequila Seltzers is a refreshing and drinkable hard seltzer, 88 calories, zero carbs, zero sugar, and 4.5 ABV. Viva is the perfect drink for your post-game celebrations as it was created for the active lifestyle in mind. Viva flavors their tequila seltzers because flavor is a spice of life, and they like their drinks with a kick, just like we like to live our lives. Viva flavors pair perfectly with an artisanal Blanco tequila for a subtle and refreshing drink. Their belief is to live long, live well, and live it up. Hashtag Viva Up, and please follow them on Twitter at Viva Seltzers.
Wow.
Cannot wait until I get
it. I need to show you guys this, and I don't mean to keep plugging them, but they sent some awesome fire shirts.
We got to plug them all day, man. They believed in us when nobody believed in us.
Yes. Right?
They're our original sponsor. Yes. All right.
We're going to make them big. I heard they're in New Jersey, Farmingdale, New Jersey. I don't know if that's near you, Locke, but they are locked and loaded in that store. I saw they.
I don't know where the fuck there. Farmingdale is, man.
It's Jersey.
I've never fucking heard of Farmingdale, but then again, New Jersey has more towns than Oklahoma and probably the surrounding states combined, right?
I mean, really?
New Jersey has the most people per square mile. It's got the most towns per square mile.
Wow.
New Jersey is loaded with talent. And you know where they're going to school, those college football players? They're going to
Rutgers.
No.
Division. Some division. Some shitty. Some shitty Division III school. Where are they going? Tell me, where are they going?
They are the Army.
No, they go to Florida. They go to Florida. They go to Georgia. They go to Alabama. You know, hotbeds: Bergen Catholic, Don Bosco, Del Barton, all these big time.
Wow, schools. The number one populated city in New Jersey is Newark.
Yeah, probably.
281,000 people.
Yeah. The brick city.
What? Is it just a ton of little? Is it just a ton of little, like tiny little towns that are all the same size? Is that what New Jersey is?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, there's like probably like 10
towns. I've never seen that. I've never seen something like that.
Type in population density USA, and New Jersey's number one by a long shot.
We have Oddsfellow joining us real quick here.
A fellow New Jersey man.
USA ranks number 3 in the list of countries.
Are we talking about the Dirty Jersey? Did I enter
it? Yeah, the armpit of America, we call it.
How is the biggest city in New Jersey only 280,000 people?
Oh, it smells horrible, too. It smells
we
like
pack them in tight.
Pack them in tight.
Beautiful
game.
Countryside.
Woke
beautiful
up this
country.
Morning.
Beautiful country.
Got myself.
Wow.
All right, let's get back on track. Yeah, Dunn's had a great ad read. Unbelievable.
So anyways,
vocals. I will say one thing. I'm going to hold you there. I don't think it's artisanal. It's artisanal, is it?
Artisanal.
Artisanal.
I said that right.
Artisanal. No, you did artisanal. Artisanal.
Artisanal.
Artisanal.
I don't know. I think I said it right.
Okay.
It
you
was
said
a great
it right.
ad read. Don't ruin Very this handy. For me.
Very handsome man.
You were just praising his ad read.
Oddsfellow, what do you like about the NBA tonight? Suns. Give me a pick.
Well, I'm in the Suns -1.5. So I lean Suns, but we got to retweet this and share this because I'm telling everyone to take the Heat in the second half. Take the Heat live. Take the Heat now.
Take the Heat.
I got
now.
Your text. All I right. got your text on the Heat.
Dad
first
ball.
Half.
Wait, hold so on. That's a dad that. Ball. Yeah. It's exclusive. Let's add.
Coming to you live from the Dad Bod Studios, this is a Dad Bod exclusive.
Take the
I'll
heat
get
live.
Out of the way because I know you got, yes, yeah, so right now you could probably
we
get
have a great
second
guest.
Half
so we want
line.
To get the guest in here too.
Yeah, so you could probably get the second half line at Heat +2. I've seen Heat to win the game at -105. Heat second half money line +110. That's what I'm on. They are up 1 right now. You look at the splits here. This is going to be a tight game, hopefully a tight finish. But the Heat are 4 of 15 from 3. They're shooting 27%. The Philadelphia 76ers are 8 of 21. They're shooting 38%. A little bit of a stronger performance out of the Sixers from 3, which is what they need. They're already getting that, and they're down 1. They were down 3 in the first quarter. They battled back a little bit, had a bigger lead in the second quarter. Danny Green gets hurt, goes out. This Sixers team does not have depth. Yes, Danny Green offensively does not feel huge, but he has been making some threes lately, and he's an important piece for them defensively. Spoelstra is a better coach. Doc Rivers is going to choke. Embiid might be the best in the series, but I don't care. The Heat in 6, baby. Heat get it done. Heat second half.
That is a great take. That
wow, you've been hanging out. Sharp. You've been hanging out with the old man a lot with that speed. With that
right,
that speed.
I'm trying to go quick.
That cadence. Wow.
Wow. Feel great.
I love that. I love it.
Thank you, Odds, for joining us. That is perfect. Dad's Bods exclusive. Take the Heat live right now. You can get them on the plus. You can get them on the money line. Take them all day.
I just took them +2. +2.
That second half line is still open. Retweet, share, like, smash away. Whatever Lockbet says to do, do it.
Perfect. Let's do it. But we have a very special guest that's going to join us. Thank you, Oddsfellow. And keep coming in with more picks while you're watching this stuff if you got any other leans or ties. But I hear a special knock on the door.
Oh, you know that sound. That means the dads have a special guest ready to join the show. Let's tune in and see who it could be.
That's right. As promised on my promo earlier, we have a special guest. He is a recurring guest on the Dad Bods podcast. sports betting analyst from FTN Bets, host of Touchdown Town, Dog Day Afternoon. Go check those out. The king of NFL touchdown scorer props, home run prop connoisseur, fellow dad, friend of the show, and man, you got to check out his OnlyFans. It is absolutely electric. Please welcome back. I think this is the fourth time on the Dad Bod podcast. Shoes. Galant.
Oh, I fucked it up, didn't I? God damn it. What the hell, son? You practiced it 10 times.
Still.
You did great, man. You did great. You did great. Gilles, yes, the S is very misleading. You will trip over it every time if you don't look fast enough. So, yeah, just very happy to be back on the show, boys. Lock, pun, guns, always good to interact with you guys on socials and, you know, just yuck it up, have a drink. It may not be a seltzer, but I love Viva Seltzer too, and I like this drink too.
I got to ask you real quick, Gilles. Have you cut your hair since the last time you've been on the show or the last time I've seen you on the show? Because I missed the last time you were here. And I'm like, his hair is getting out of, it's getting long.
No, you could say it. It's getting out of control.
It's getting a little bit out of control. Yeah.
So here's the deal. What happened? November of 2019, I'm getting ready to go for a Christmas party. It happens right at the beginning of December. I go to get my haircut and I had to last minute get a haircut and I had to go to like a higher end salon instead of just like my local shop.
Where Ben's goes, basically.
It cost me like $45 to get it. And then they were like, and tip? And I'm like, and I just thought about this. I was like, man, I have to get my hair cut like once a month. Like, I'm just thinking, I'm just pricing it out over the year. And I'm just like, man, F this. Like, you know, just kind of thinking, I'm like, all right, you know, we get to like, you know, February, March, and you know, it's getting, you know, like I do like a little bit of a side part and shit. But then COVID happens and you can't go to any hairdresser for at least like 6 months, like, or any barber or whatever. So yeah. I was just like, all right, I'll just let it go. And, you know, maybe I can get through the summer. And then the next year we're kind of in this spot and I'm like, okay, well, you know, I could get a cut, but you know, it's kind of, I feel like there's a lot of people who follow me don't even remember me having short hair. Like,
no, I don't. Yeah. Know,
so with that in mind, you're right. It is out of control. I do need to cut it. I'm planning to cut it at some point before football season. I don't know when it's going to happen. I'm not saying all the way off, but I got to put like some, that's one of the times that I'm okay with going to the hairdresser. I'm not going to go to a barber to cut
it. So you've never had long hair before.
Never, never.
So what did you think your hair was going to do?
I mean, I don't know. But, well, here's the thing. Like, I'm just trying to remember, like, you guys are like closer to my age. Like, we all had like the mushroom cut, like, you know, the part in the middle. So maybe it came down to like my cheeks, like, you know, at the longest. I've never let it go out this far. And there's people like, you know, they see me. I'm not saying that I'm being judged, but I can tell that people look at me and think like, man, this guy doesn't have it all together.
Well, because like, you see the beard. You wear it well. You look like a guy that's had that haircut your whole life.
The other thing I was going to say, Punt, that's a very, I appreciate that compliment. But the other thing that I was going to say about it is, if I cut it, there is a very good chance it ain't coming back. That's another thing too, that it's like salvaging what's left, like, in a way, like, you know what I mean? Cause, I was blessed /born /cursed with a double crown, which basically simulates a bald spot in the back of your head. So already I'm starting like, you know, behind the eight ball. And then from there, you know, as you get older, you wear hats, you know, whatever. Stress, kids, you start to lose a little bit of hair, you know. So now it's just kind of hanging on for dear life. So there, I don't think I can cut it all the way back down to like the crew cut, like the way that I was rocking, like in some of my profile pictures when I first came into the industry. But it is definitely getting a trim because I don't know if I can do another summer with this heat.
No, dude, it looks good. It looks good. I think Guns had that haircut, I think, in the early 90s.
I'm pretty sure Guns, were you in a glam rock band that we did not know about?
Yeah, he was a hair band guy.
Oh, yeah. I used to like, I mean, I remember being a kid liking like Poison
Yes, I was about to say a big Poison fan.
Like Poison was a big one that sticks out in my head. I used to like you used to get the magazines, you used to stick them up on your like closet wall, and I remember trying to introduce my grandfather to that music, and he was like, "I ain't having this shit." it was so funny. I was like maybe 10, maybe 7 or 8 when that came out, but I wanted to ask you. I didn't know you've been on the show. Sure. A lot. I guess you are the SNL. Is this the fourth time? Am I correct?
Yeah, I don't have a five timers club jacket ready.
We need not yet.
This maybe the next five. Time. The five. Okay, right. That's
the one. Next visit, I will. I have a closet right here. I will bust out a suit jacket and I will wear a blazer for five.
Yes.
For that one.
Perfect. So, how long have you been like? I mean, from a gambling standpoint, are you just? I know from a content standpoint, you just pretty much like talk about props. Yeah, I mean, that's in MLB, NBA, NFL, obviously. From a bet, do you just bet that or do you like tail other cappers on some other stuff?
It's a good question, Gunn. So occasionally I will, find a nice dog money line I like, just feel like sometimes I have an edge, but it's so few and far between. So if you actually graded, let's say 100% of my bets, I would probably say 5 to 10% of them are sides and totals. Mainly because I'm not saying that people can't succeed doing the -110 bet strategy, but I always stick to this kind of proverb that I made up myself, obviously, so you can quote me on it, -110 bets are the mid-range jump shot of sports betting. And correct. What I mean by that is there is only a select few, a very small percentage, where mid-range jump shots are what considered to be allowed. Like, you know what I mean? Like, or -110 bets, like you will succeed at that bet. The other 90%, do not take that shot. Try not to make those bets because you will not succeed long-term betting that game. I feel like there's just a very small community of people who could bet the -110 bet. So as a result, I have realized you have to admit your strengths and weaknesses. I have grinded and been able to do sides and totals before, but I actually felt like when I was doing like the NBA bubble, for example, or a couple seasons of NFL ago where I was just betting sides and totals mainly for an article that I was doing called The Pick Six, very original, obviously. What essentially was I was realizing that I was grinding so hard and I finished maybe like 54, 55% and just the return on it. I just was like, man, I feel like I gave up like such a big part of myself to get this 5-7 units of profit that like it just didn't feel as rewarding as when I would hit 30% of my bets, but hit like a bunch of plus 300, plus 500 touchdown scores that are just way more fun to bet. Like it just that's the one thing that was happening is that I was losing the joy of betting -1.
So no mid-range jumpers, huh?
Well, and just I realized that I am the Pat Connaughton, the Danny Green.
So you're the Nate Oates. The Nate Oates of gambling Twitter. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if I would go that far. I don't even feel like Steph Curry from half court.
He's like, I don't shoot mid-range.
No, he's a no mid-range jumper guy. That's what Nate Oates does.
In the NBA. In the NBA, they grade shots and they're just like per attempt, like what this shot is worth in a sense, not just the 3 points, but like the amount of shots that you take compared to threes to twos. Like that's not new NBA analytics. I was just more using that as like an example of just.
But
the point was, is that there are people like yourselves or, people friends of the show, like a Sharky Waters or, Odds Fellow, Old Man Who Bets, like guys like this, that I think can sustain that type of success betting -110 bets. And what I mean by -110 is like the spreads and the totals.
Right.
Or even just the regular, props as well, but that are just listed at the straight -110. I just not have found the ability to have a lot of success betting that way. And that's the main thing that I stress about betting as well, is that there isn't a right way to bet, nor is there a right amount to bet, like in my opinion. Like I just think that we still need to have fun betting. But at the same time, like I'm not going to tell somebody how they cap is wrong, because I think that to me is the only wrong way to handicap, is thinking your way is the only way. So plus money props, again, that is probably going against my strategy of saying your way is the only way. But just for me, what I've found is my history of betting and betting -110 bets. I just I wasn't getting ahead enough to put in that kind of work, you know, especially like, you know, this is the dad's pods. We have lives outside of sports betting, right? So I was like, you know what, if I'm going to bet my $10 or $20 or $100 or $200 on this bet, I need to ensure that I feel good about making it. And I'm going to have a little fun while I do it.
Lock bets. Your thoughts on minus 110 betting.
I mean, listen, I'm not a father yet, but I mean, I can't imagine
that you know of.
That I know of. But I can't imagine, like, I fucking, like, sometimes I'm neglecting my job as a, you know, I'm basically, you know, I have a girlfriend. I'm neglecting my real-time job because I'm, you know, crunching numbers, looking at past schedules. I'm looking back to 2019, 2020. I mean, it's a grind. So I kind of feel it, man. I feel like, especially if I have a child in the next few years, I think I'm kind of cool with you know, putting that in the back burner and be a typical gambler. Let's risk little and let's reward a lot, right? Isn't that what we're all looking for? Let's put a little bit.
But it's
down.
Also minimizing risk too, Locks. I think that's the one thing too is I'd like to stress. It's like, yeah, I'm not putting this on like plus 1,000 same game parlays where I need like five different things to happen in order to get there. So I'm with you. The one thing that I would just say too, Locks, is that and this isn't me shitting on working on the industry because I love my job. But I think what I misunderstood, or at least I had to adjust to myself for a lot of people who are aspiring to be in this industry, is I used to use sports betting as my escape from my job. Do you know what I mean? Like where it's like, finally, like, you know what I mean? I'm grinding, trying to do sales or trying to do whatever. And then all of a sudden it's like, I got 5-10 minutes. I'm going to look at the lines. I'm going to try to see if I can find some angles, you know, whatever else. But then when that becomes your life, you still need to reserve some time that's away from that. And that's something that I struggle with. I'm sure a lot of people who are content creators, but also sports bettors regularly, like in my space, and you guys as well. When you're doing this full time, I don't want to say the grass isn't greener because it is awesome. It has a lot of perks, but just there are some times where you just feel consumed by it. And and as a result, like today was a day where I just decided I just need to chill. I just need to unplug. During the NFL season, like no joke, boys, like I worked 21 weeks straight, 7 days a week. Like every day I was just kind of doing stuff, whether it be researching or doing analysis, shows, content, and it's all fun. I would not trade that what that happened. It's just more, I think the other thing that I would say is with the minus 110 bets as well, just grinding so hard, you need to be able to take a step back sometimes because it's not even just about the money. It's more about just the mental consumption that you're looking at your phone and you're looking at lines and you're looking at stats and you're grinding out games and everything else. And just sometimes you just need to be able to take a quick minute and be like, hey, don't forget about your kids and your wife over here, or, you know, your priorities. You know what I mean? Because even though your job is your priority, that was the one thing that separated it from being a priority is before it was an actual job. And that's what's, again, stuff you have to juggle. That's not even dad bod's pod. That's just life pod.
Hell yeah.
I will tell you, I'll bring in one quick point and we can move on to the next subject. But Locke, when you do start having kids, you're going to be home a lot more. So you're not going to be out doing shit. You're not going to be out drinking beers. So guess what?
Okay.
You're home. You have more time to cat on your own time. So it kind of goes.
I'm not going to be at a happy hour that leads to the next bar and then the pregame, the postgame.
Once a month, maybe.
I got a question because you know what, Jill? You have, you know, you just inspired me. Let's get out of the box real quick. Where is your happy place? You got to pick one place in the world, 5 days, name it. You name it. You're bringing the kids or you could be by yourself. Where's your happy place?
I mean, my kids are young, so like they don't really understand like sports, like the gravity of it and just like the joy of watching sports, whether it be live or whatever. So in 2018, I finally got to realize a little mini dream of mine. I finally got to go to Jerry World. I finally got to go to Arlington and watch the Cowboys play. Now it was a terrible result, losing to Marcus Mariota and the listless offense of the Titans that time on Monday Night Football, which was just awful. But the point was is that because I can't think of prior to kids what the happy place was, that was one of the happiest moments I've had. And I wish that my family was there to share it with me, because my wife at the time, she was super pregnant, so she wasn't coming down to Dallas with me to come watch a game. But the end result, just from a happy place standpoint, I didn't even have a bet on the game. That was one of the things, again, just where you're able to just go to a like.
What a crazy stadium, like, right?
Well, a crazy stadium, again, like I'm a closet smoker as well. So it's one of those places, like, I'm used to going to a stadium. Once you go in, there's no leaving. And if you need a cigarette or if you need some sort of thing like that, or after the seventh inning, it goes to extra innings, they stop serving booze, like that kind of stuff. If you want that fix while you're going, that was one of the things that Jerry World, I was just like, oh my God, like this is just a full party for like 4 hours. And like you can smoke, do whatever. Like, you know, just
right. That's Texas for you.
Yeah. But again, Locke, you kind of put me on the spot because again, I just didn't, I mean, I haven't been thinking about happy places for a while just because I've been so deep in the job. And then obviously when I'm not capping, I'm just doing dad stuff as well. So, guys, like, again, I think you guys can all relate. Like, you know, you wish you had more time. You would, like, because the other thing that I would say too, Locke, this is the other thing that, like, with kids, and this is one thing I would say to Pun, is that, yes, you have more time, but your time is done on less sleep. Your head's constantly on a swivel, so you constantly – I don't want to say anxiety, but you're just more like – you're just constantly aware. Like, if anything –
just constantly tired.
Super awareness. Constantly tired, but then, like – so – my daughters have recently discovered that they can get up at 6 a.m. instead of 7 a.m. just recently. And that hour difference is just ridiculous when it comes to trying to operate the next morning when it's like, oh, shit, I got to dive into lines. And I'm just like half asleep, like looking at my computer. I'm like, you know what? I like Pat Connaughton, you know, like that kind of, but like at the same time, like I'll start diving into the stats, but I'm just kind of maybe cutting corners, you know, maybe just not being as sharp as you want to be. So that is the part of where, yes, you have more time, but that time isn't necessarily always dedicated to being able to capping lines. So
no,
when you eventually have
that.
Kids, you just make a little pocket of time for yourself in the morning if you can. If you're a morning person, obviously that's even better. Yeah, guys, like I think you guys can all agree, especially like, you know, Pun and Guns, like just the mornings, like that's the prime time to cap, especially a day after a game kind of thing like that. And if you're not sharp and you're half asleep, like you're already.
Mine's night. Once I put the kids to bed, I can actually do it.
Guns goes to
I stay up all night. Like football season is. I'm up.
Guns does not sleep.
I don't sleep.
Guns, you're in the proverbial lab, as they say.
That I'm sitting in the lab right now. My podcast lab is my capping lab. If I
just need that white trench coat, some rubber gloves, you know.
Yes, I do, and I just cook up like whatever I can concoct for
college. Gunsy Maze.
Yeah,
I think there was a rubber doll too.
There was, rubber, yeah. That is useful. At
some we got rid of that one, right?
It may result in a nuke or two, and you know that's what happens.
That's right. And speaking of nukes, I think this is time we have to give the people some picks as we have people watching us live. Let's give some people some picks. So this is the portion of the podcast that we do the Dad Bods Capper Breakdown.
It is time for the Dad Bods Capper Breakdown.
Oh, yeah. As always, the Dad Bods Capper Breakdown is sponsored by Viva Tequila Seltzers. I'm going to start with Pun Picks. What do you got for us?
Boys, little hockey tonight.
Jouer on
9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central. I don't know what time zone Gilles is in, but Canadian time, something. We're gonna be on the Blues, -111. I didn't want to make it a 110 bet, so I made it a 111 bet.
Yep.
So anyway, Blues, -111. This is at home for them to close out the series. I've already released and posted the Blues series bet as well. So they're up 3-2. Home tonight versus the Wild. I think they put it away. Bonus pick for all the members out there.
We love bonuses.
you guys know that we hate the Marlins right now. So we're playing the Brewers tomorrow at the Marlins. Hopefully the Brewers pitching gets back under control after that horrendous series versus the Reds, where they just gave up an unbelievable amount of runs for some reason versus the worst team maybe in baseball history. But we're going Brewers. I think it's -135. You can probably get better than that. But anyway, Brewers money line tomorrow.
That's it? -135?
I think so. Is that right?
I don't know. Yeah. I would figure it'd be a little bit more juicy than that.
No, Vegas loves the Marlins, dude. I mean, the Marlins are favored, like, against Bumgarner.
So does a lot of people on Twitter. A lot of people on Twitter.
Yeah.
Not naming any names, but every fucking 2 days, I got the Marlins on my fucking timeline. It's like
Burns, one of the best pitchers in the league versus, you know, whoever
it is.
You're not telling me Burns is on the mound and it's -130.
Correct. That's why I'm taking it now.
That's fishy. All right. The Marlins are literally a fish, but that's suspect. All right.
So Punt and I are going to talk about the same game, but I'll give it to you, Locke. It's your turn. Give us a
pick. Oh, did I steal your pick, Gus?
No, you didn't actually. No.
Are you going the other?
No.
Well, you're always first five.
All right. First five. Locke, go.
So admittedly, I am unprepared with a pick for tomorrow. No. I forgot my password on my MacBook right now, and in the last hour, I've been getting locked out. And
I've been there. Okay. I've been there before.
It's fine. Yeah. So, but I do have an angle to go with. Right now, we're at the Byron Nelson PGA Tour in Texas. The good news is Sebastian Munoz goes out today, goes completely bonkers. He shoots a 60. He went -12 on the first day. What does that mean for you guys? You guys can get a better line for your favorites, all right? Scottie Scheffler, he's -5. Jordan Spieth, he's at -5. I would lock in both of those. Those two guys, you probably get them between 25 to 30 to 1. Scheffler's probably gonna be 15 to 1, maybe. But I mean, that's what I'm gonna be doing once I get into my computer. But anyways, I'm gonna stop talking. That's all I can contribute. But Scottie Scheff, Jordan Spieth, two Texans in Texas. All right, Munoz is not winning this thing. You went -12 today in golf. You played 4 rounds. I think it's unsustainable to think that Sebastian Munoz is going to go all 4 rounds wire to wire. But that's my take. And up next is
Cotillion.
That's great because a lot of people aren't talking about golf because there isn't a major on. But there's still golf every weekend. And that is where you can make some money. And LockBass just gave you some premier, absolute egg Taylor Ham burrito type style pick, which I absolutely adore and I love it. I'm gonna go with the same game that Pun Picks just talked about, and it has nothing to do with the side, it has to do with the total. So I like the under in this spot, and of course, if you know anything about betting first fives, you need to wait till probably 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning before the F5s come out. But grab it at this one, whatever the under is. Burns is pitching for Milwaukee, hasn't given up more than a run in first five in his last 5 starts. He's had 6 starts already, but he's only given up one run in his last 2. And the other ones, he shut him out in the first 5. He is 3-3 as a starter.
Yeah,
he's 3-3 as a starter in the first 5. It's because Milwaukee doesn't like to give him run support when he pitches. Now Miami is going to be pitching Lopez. They have scored 3 total runs at home in May in the last 4 games. In May, so it was a series, one series. Granted, take that sample as it may. But Lopez had 1 bad home start, but he's given up 0 runs in his last 2 other home starts. So I think it's going to be a very pitching duel style battle. It may be 0-0 after the first 5, but you got to be taking the under in this one and avoid getting bashed in the nuts, taking a side on the first.
You think it'll probably be 3.5, right?
Three. It probably opened at 3.5 and dropped to 3. I can see that easily happen, but it won't go lower than 3. It'll just be heavily juiced 3 on the under.
I like it. I like it a lot.
So G Dog 5,000. Mm-hmm. I know you don't. You have some propositions, leans coming up.
Yeah, I got two bets. I get two bets I can give you right now for Friday night. So. Just looking at my boy Pat Connaughton. I call him Project Pat. I've been betting his three-point props pretty consistently, especially at home, pretty much anytime he's in a playoff game specifically, because just his three-point attempts. One of the things that I look at when I bet three-point attempts is I look at just the volume specifically to his relative to his total shots. So if you're shooting over 50% from the three-point line for all your total shots, already that makes you a guy that you should be paying attention to for three-point props. Well, Pat Connaughton is up to about 70 to 75% right now. So Pat Connaughton for three threes is paying plus 115 at home in game 6 against Boston. Boston boys, so I figured guns might be into betting on Pat Connaughton as well. You're not getting the best value. I will say that as the series has gone on, like, you were able to get him around like the plus 170, plus 180 range, and you are playing with a little bit of fire because Grayson Allen is the guy who starts, and he is the only other white guy that hits three-point shots on that team. It's not Brook Lopez. Now, I will say that for Memphis and Golden State, I've always been gravitating towards Jordan Poole, especially because he does have a lot of three-point attempts. It's just more he's kind of going in the regression phase of that right now. So for that game, I'm actually looking at Draymond Green. I'm actually pivoting over to a rebounding prop specifically at 10 or more rebounds at plus 170. So far, he is the leading rebounder on the team. He is playing most of the center minutes. He had about 5 rebounds within the first like few minutes of the first quarter in game 5. But that game just became a blowout. He didn't even play really in the second half because they were down by like 25.
Wasn't many rebounding opportunities.
They were hitting a lot of shots, but he only played like 22 minutes. He's usually around 30. And the thing is most of those 22 minutes outside of like the first like 6, they were down by like 10 points. So Steve Kerr is just thinking like, okay, I can't stop this monsoon of points. I just have to take out my studs and just kind of go towards game 6, because once they were up 3-1, like, they kind of felt like they had position in the series. Right. So at plus 115 for Pat Connaughton to hit 3 or more threes, and plus 170 for Draymond Green, I think I've added some worthy disclaimers, which is that Grayson Allen is sitting there at plus 290, for example, and is going to play about 6 or 7 more minutes than Pat Connaughton. But the difference is that Grayson's shot attempts and the way that he is, like, he has one of the most drives on the team. Like, Giannis obviously has the most, but Grayson Allen is about second or third on the team in drives to the paint. So he's not taking as many three-point shots. Game to game, teams like to adjust. I don't think Milwaukee is going to adjust as much from game 5 to game 6 just because they won the game. So they're going to stick with what they've been doing. And Pat Connaughton has been taking a lot of threes. He's averaging like 6 or 7 three-point attempts per game. And he's been hitting fairly well from the corner. I just hope that kind of Boston still sags off on him and still puts him in a position to hit 3. And you're not getting the best value at plus 115. But right now for a three-point prop for that game, that's the best guy that you want to look at. You may want to look at Brook Lopez from a rebounding perspective. I bet him last game. Of course, 7-footer walks around, can't even get more than 3 rebounds on a team starting a guy that's no taller than 6'8". So one of the things that I was going to say, when they play in Milwaukee, right now you're going to get pretty decent value at like his over-under rebound prop, or even just looking at something as simple as 7 rebounds or more, like a milestone prop. You could probably get that at like plus 200, plus 250 for a guy that has to play center and they have to have him in the paint, because the main reason why they have to play so big and have to protect the paint is that if they let Giannis just roam out there, Lopez roam out there and start guarding Horford on the perimeter, that's just going to leave driving lanes open to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. They don't want that. So I think he's going to play a little bit more in this game. He only got 4 rebounds, I think, in game 5. But I think he's going to get 6 or 7. So that would be a prop that I would consider as well.
Wow. That is perfect.
Are both of those tonight? Those tonight?
Those are tonight.
That's for Friday night. So hopefully you're watching this pod. You know, it's just chilling in your underwear.
Yes, yeah, because we're talking about Horford.
Because you're just chilling, you know, in your house, waking up. I'm picturing Locks tomorrow, waking up, you know, chilling in his boxers, you know, eating his cereal, just kind of watching the
YouTube
show.
He doesn't eat cereal. It's Taylor ham and egg, right?
Or it's just another drink of whiskey. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're just thinking, you know what I mean? I'm going to keep the good vibes going. But the point was, is that let this kind of information digest. See how you feel about it. Grayson Allen, again, is a good alternative if you think you want to fade me, because I think one of these guys is hitting 3 or 3-pointers in game 6. I just believe in Pat Connaughton more because of my history betting him and how much money I've won on him. But Grayson Allen is still offering pretty good value at plus 290, and it seems like those guys fluctuate game to game. It's only been recently that Pat Connaughton hit 3 or more in 3 straight games, like games 1 and games 2. And then even previous series, he just wasn't doing as much. But I've always believed in Pat. I'm a big Pat Connaughton guy. Notre Dame Irish. I'm not actually a fan of them, but just good for them having Pat Connaughton on the team. And, oh, there it is. Yeah, go Irish. Well, you got the – I know we got Oklahoma. We got an Irish fan. Locke, who's your college team?
I went to University of South Carolina, so I'm a Gamecock at heart. I'm a Gamecock. It's been tough last few years, but – hey, we're hopeful. I'm also a Jets fan, so I'm used to being very hopeful. So that's the baseline to my.
It's only upside from here. Yeah, like with the Jets.
And he's also a Yankee fan. He's also a Yankees fan, so he's very hopeful there too.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, you're sitting at 22-8 in the division. Like I'm like sitting here like Guns is taking shrapnel from Red Sox like deflectors. Like you guys aren't even thinking about the Blue Jays. Like in the fact that right now, like I feel like we still have probably the best team top to bottom in the division.
The Blue Jays have not. You're right. The Blue Jays have not hit their stride yet. Have they?
They're lurking.
Well, we haven't done any. Well, here's the deal. We haven't done anything since 2015, and prior to that, we hadn't done anything since 1993. So, from a Jays standpoint, we deserve zero respect when it comes to the AL East division, other than that one time that we won in 2015, and one of the worst. Best worst experiences I ever had was I went to the ALDS game 2. Marcus Stroman is pitching against the Texas Rangers. We had just made the playoffs for the first time since 1993. It's tied 4-4 going to the 9th inning. Well, what they don't tell you at Rogers Center or Sky Dome, as you might refer to it, is they stopped serving beer at the 7th inning. That was a reference I made to something earlier.
That's everywhere though.
That game went to the 14th inning. So what I'm telling you is those extra innings, like, again, I've been to.
You got
to
get those reserved beers. You got to get those reserved beers.
But like the stereotype, or at least the consensus is, you know, Canadian fans, like, you know, be a little nicer. You know, they might apologize a little bit more. No, like that is the sourest crowd I've ever watched walk out of an arena. And I've been to. I don't want to say hundreds, but I've been to dozens of Blue Jays games in my time, and lots of times where we weren't competing and it's still a sold out arena. And again, you lose, whatever, you're 81-81, who gives a shit? But that is like where, okay, we're in the position and we coughed up this fucking win, went down 0-2 in the series, end up coming back and winning the series in game 5 is the Jose Bautista.
And that's why the Rogers Center is not his happy place. So,
well, and a lot of people don't talk about this, like game 5. You talk about like Blue Jays fans being like supportive and being, or even just being apologetic or polite, or like at that time when that something happened, Ronald Odor had scored in the 7th inning. It's one of the longest 7th innings you ever see. Fucking guy threw a tall can of beer from the upper row, hit a kid with their baby in the lower bowl. Like, again. You talk about like I'm not trying to say that, like, you know, I'm not trying to like dispute this stereotype that Canadians are polite and friendly and whatever else, because we are. But
hey guys,
we have unruly fans. No, but we have unruly fucking fans just as bad here and in some spots, especially in the hockey arenas, right? So I would just say it's a pleasure to come on the show. Those are the picks that I like the most for Friday. And I'm likely going to be writing about them at ftmbets.com after the show.
Yeah, you got to go check them out. At G-Dog, D-A-W-G 5000, that's the number on Twitter. Go check him out. His content
I have news. I have breaking news.
All right, breaking
news. What do you got, Rob?
I did get into my laptop. So that's huge. It's huge. Huge win. Huge. W. I got my Sharp.
What was your password? What did your password end up being?
Oh, it was password 123. No,
it's password, right? It's password.
One second. So just so I'm clear, I want to get. Jill, what is that website you told me? I want to bookmark it right now.
FTMBets.com. One of the pages on FTM Bets Lock is we have a thing called the prop shop. We're on that page. Let's say you wanted to look at Pat Connaughton 3-point props.
Yeah.
And you just wanted to type in his name. You would be able to see the best lines from all the different sports books. We have APIs set up from all the different sports books, like DraftKings, FanDuel, whatever. So you compare lines. So if you already have all these sportsbook accounts set up, you don't necessarily have to sign up. It's just good for a point of reference. Like, you know what I mean? So you're like, okay, I know what it is. I know where the best line is right now, and I can decide if I want to bet it or not. But I use this daily. Like, you know what I mean? Just to see
this
like,
is what great.
We have. And it's not just players. Like, you could type in a team. Like, you type in New York Yankees and just see what it is for them to win the AL East right now or the World Series or, any other.
Now, is most of this stuff free, or is there a paywall eventually?
All free. There is some stuff that is paywall, but it's mainly, like, betting models or just, like, kind of, like, in-depth tools where it requires many men to kind of put this together. Like, you know, there's some stuff that we use that I would use for like touchdown scores, for example. Like, you're looking at you could find out like basically like different like passing patterns, like a lot of the stuff that's really advanced, like the offensive line, you know, win-loss rate, that kind of stuff. Like, a lot of the stuff is very translating to fantasy, but it's very translating as well to bets. Like, it's stuff that you can't even find on Pro Football Focus. Like, we have guys that are tracking this stuff. So that's what it comes with a subscription. But a lot of the picks are just stuff like mine. Just like you, gents, like, I'm not really going to put my picks behind a paywall if I don't have to. You know what I mean? If you're going to want to, if you want to tail me or whatever else, here are my picks. Let's have a fucking day and drink up to that, you know?
Now, do you run this anytime touchdown score odds tracker? Is that your science or is somebody else?
That is, man, Lox, you are putting me in a position where I can just promote the shit out of myself.
Let's do it, baby.
And I like it. And again, no, you're just throwing me the alley-oop. I'm just going to dunk it right now. So what that is, and this is an important part of how I handicap touchdown scores, because I'm the guy that is betting them all the time. So it's more for that person who's betting them routinely, week to week. And what I do is I track the odds from DraftKings specifically, is where that sportsbook is coming from, of what they closed at that week. So let's say the perfect example is Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase, first 3 weeks, he was doing great, you know, maybe plus 150, you know, plus 120 to score a touchdown. But then you get into the spot where they're playing the Baltimore Ravens in like week 6 or week 7. And then you look at it, you're like, wait a minute. Like, he hasn't scored in a couple weeks, but he's paying plus 200 to score a touchdown against his secondary. Like, I'm not saying that Baltimore's secondary isn't good, but he's been plus 120, plus 130 every week. You're going to offer me plus 200 now on a talent like that? I'm just going to bet it. Like, so there's a lot of times when I'm betting touchdown scores, I'm not even looking at the matchup or the stats. I look at the odds first and just see, okay, what are these telling me? Like, are you telling me really that he only has a 35% chance to, like, implied probability to score? Because right now I actually think it's closer to 50. So right now I feel like I have the edge. I'm going to bet that. And there's guys like that.
Do the gritty while you're doing it. Do you do the gritty when you take a touchdown prop on Ja'Marr Chase?
Well, and not to get too revealing, I actually have a fake hip. I don't know if I could actually pull that off. Not to be a buzzkill, but if I did the gritty, I'm pretty sure I would just collapse in pain, like right after I did it. Like
you can do a moderated.
I can do a one-legged gritty. But the thing is it would have to be.
Didn't
like
Adam Schefter like tear his ACL doing a gritty?
He was doing something. Probably, I forgot what it was.
He set white people back by dozens of years by doing it for sure. But I think with him, like just when he's doing that, like, you know what I mean? It's just, it's a clear trend. It's very fun to do. But it's very pounding on the joints for a guy who's almost 40, right? Yes. Like it's just,
I think there should be a rule once you hit your 40.
Well, and I mean, I don't mind doing the dab, you know, every once in a while. That doesn't hurt anybody. Like, you know what I mean? Save it for the kids. Maybe do the little, you know, cooking it up kind of thing. Like, you know, when you're at arenas, but like you start doing the gritty, you start doing, you might as well, like, if you could do the gritty, I bet you could probably do the worm. I feel like that's a pretty good chance.
The underrated touchdown celebration that nobody does is you got to do yourself reading the paper and pooping out a football. That's the one that anybody above.
Was that the Randy Moss?
No, Randy Moss mooned him. So
Randy Moss is the fake moon, which is Joe Buck just going self-destructive.
That's the most disgusting thing. Yeah. I mean, Randy Moss is an absolute goat. So I guess, you know, we hit the mark for the show. Absolutely great. Thank you for joining us. You got to check him out on Twitter at GDog5000 and check out at FTNBets because, I mean, we just promoted the shit out of this show and also check out at Viva Seltzers as well. So till next time on the Dad Bods Podcast, episode number 82 is in the books. Let's keep cashing. Enjoy the plays and good luck as always. Till next time. Peace.